So, Steven, you were a little late to recording today. Where were you?
Yeah, sorry. I was up late.
Oh, yeah? What was keeping you up so late?
Well, I've taken a lover.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a little complicated.
Who is this person?
It's a little complicated. They're a mom of a closer than a friend.
Oh, what's closer than a friend?
A coworker.
Oh, no. Wait. Oh, no. Is it my mom? Oh, no. Please tell me you're not. Oh, no.
What are we talking about today?
My mom looks good, so I don't know.
Hey.
Hey, just like Pam's mom.
Which one? There's two Pam's moms. It's very confusing.
Yeah, there are two Pam's moms, but we have a fresh mom. We're going to stick with the new mom that's around. You got to keep the fresh moms around. So we are talking about... What?
Please stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. We are talking about the episode The Lover, which is the 7th episode of season 6, originally airing on October 22nd, 2009. And in this episode, Jim and Pam are back.
Yeah, they're back.
They are back from their honeymoon.
Puerto Rico was awesome.
Oh my gosh, the honeymoon was great. We met this other couple at the resort, Frank and Benny. We hung out with them a lot.
Frank and Beans.
Frank and Beans.
They have some tales of some wonderful times at their honeymoon in Puerto Rico.
They're literally in the honeymoon phase.
They are. And so they have like all these cute inside jokes, and they brought gifts for everybody, which causes a really funny, awkward problem at reception.
We brought back some Puerto Rican candy.
Coco leche. That's my favorite.
Awesome. I'll leave it up here so everyone can enjoy it.
Oh, let me just check with Michael first.
I think it'll be okay.
I think it will too, but I'll just check with him though.
Bring you that candy. Yeah, so we got to say, this is a warm open, as we have.
It is a room temperature open. Yes, it is.
Room temperature candy open,
mm-hmm.
Where the open is just part of the show. So it opens with, oh, hey, they're back. And we're just off to the races.
With Blind Guy McSqueezy.
Blind Guy McSqueezy. He gets into trouble.
I hear voices. Is somebody there?
Yeah!
Is someone here? I can't see you because I'm blind.
It's Jim and Pam, Michael.
It is?
Yeah.
They're back?
Dwight is enthralled with Blind Guy McSqueezy.
You think so?
Dwight loves him. Look how excited Dwight is.
Blind Guy McSqueezy is another character that Michael has cooked up, and he is a blind guy who grabs whatever he wants to grab, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
He's a problematic
Women
blind guy.
Women in his improv class hate it.
They do hate it. He grabs onto Jim, which is pretty funny. I mean, you don't grab onto these for balance. We already know that.
Right.
But basically, yeah, it just kind of goes into the episode. We have them coming back, and then it all takes place on the exact same day. The room temperature open and the show. And we have, you know, the basic returning from trips, where I always find it strange, the idea of bringing back souvenirs for people when you went on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
I always found that custom kind of weird. Do you feel the same
way?
We have
a custom in our house, and it's not unique to us by any means. I'm sure we stole it from somebody. But like last year, 2019, I traveled so much for work. I mean, I don't even know how many trips I had last year. And I would get like a fridge magnet from like whatever city I was in, usually at the airport, because you can always just get one and like get a Coke and get on the plane. Mm-hmm. And so like on the side of our fridge, cause one side of our fridge is like not up against cabinets. You can see like the full side of it. We have all these like trip magnets, and it was a fun way to like remember where I've been, and the kids get excited about what I picked out, but I'm not committing to you get a toy or a game every time I go out of town, because that would not be something that we want to do. So I kind of get it for like family.
Yeah, but we do the same thing for our family, where we were traveling a ton, like basically every month on a plane. And I would get Adam I would get him if I was going on my own, a keychain from the place that we went to. And we'd hang them all up in his room. And he has like all these different keychains from all the places that we visited. But like the idea of getting
all the places my parents went without me.
Yeah, basically. He has like one keychain from the one time he went on a plane. Wah, wah. But otherwise, like, the idea of, I mean, okay, yeah, maybe putting out candy or something at work, but still, like, here's gifts from my trip, a place that you didn't go to in an office, but everyone does it, so they're doing it here.
Yeah, it's funny, too. Apparently, Pam and Jim, they brought the candy at reception, and we need to talk about how Aaron responds to that. But then they also brought back at least a couple of other things. They're in a bag by Jim's desk, and then they choose what to give to Michael. They choose the rum with the stuffed parrot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't buy that with Michael in mind. They just bought a couple of things, and then, you know, I guess one's going to go to Michael and one will go to somebody else. I don't know. It's like they brought a gift, but it wasn't picked out individually.
It's totally stuff that they just got in the airport on the way back. You know, like it's just that quick, like, we should bring something. Yeah. It would make them happy.
Yes.
But so there is them returning. And then kind of the main, well, not the main part of this episode, which is Michael's lover, but there is kind of this B plot going on with Dwight bringing a wooden duck. Oh, I'm sorry. A mallard.
A mallard.
A wooden duck.
Mallard.
To Jim's office. And inside the mallard is a walkie-talkie hooked up listening device to spy on Jim.
I'm sorry to have been bugging you all these years.
It's a real handsome duck.
Mallard. Okay, I'll get out of your hair.
He also brings a pin in saying, you know, no matter how high they promote you, your desk is not my pin receptacle. So he's still a little bitter, I think. But that mallard is gonna come back later on.
So as we get into the episode, Jim is back and Pam is back and everyone's getting resettled in. Michael sits down with Jim to brag that he has taken a lover. And he quickly reveals that lover is Pam's mom. And I love when this is all going down and Jim is freaking out about it, that Toby walks in.
Hey, Jim.
Not now, Toby, my God. Jesus.
It continues the whole, like, managers hate Toby kind of thing. And Jim is yelling at Toby to get out of here because Toby's interrupting this incredible reveal. And Jim is just trying to deal with it as best he can. But he's trying to stop Michael, but he obviously can't.
It's pretty great. Jim doesn't believe him at first.
You're messing with me. What kind of car does she drive?
She drives a green Camry, and the seats go all the way down.
I love that they bleep curses in the show. I love when they swear in this show, because it really brings out that idea that this is supposed to be candid. And they use it in such a wonderful way, because they do not overuse swearing. We've only had, like, a bleep swear every once in a while when the characters are kind of like, they obviously cannot filter themselves properly. It just happens. And so we get this bleep put in there, but it was a pivotal moment if you're talking about documentary storytelling, that it should have been in there. So they have to bleep it. It, like, all these different levels of this being a mockumentary. And so that's why I love when they swear. Then they swear twice in this episode, actually. There's two bleeps.
They do.
Jim has one, and then Pam has it, right? Pam has another one?
Yep. She does.
So it's really good. I like how they use it. They do not overuse it. I think it would be really easy for the show to, like, overuse swear words, but they really, really don't. They dial it back, so each one has so much weight put on it, and it's very, very good.
It also makes it sort of funny. Like, we do that over on Relay. We don't allow cursing for the most part, and we often bleep them if they come up. And it does make things funnier sometimes to have something bleep, because it like you said, it gives it more impact. It gives it more more punch, if you will.
Yeah, and it's unexpected, and unexpected is usually funny.
Michael then goes on to describe the green Camry that Pam's mom drives. The back seats go all the way down.
Thank you for your... and Jim's reaction after he kind of freaks out and tries to tell Michael to stop doing what he's doing is that he cannot tell Pam. But Michael reveals that he was planning on telling Pam out to dinner this evening with Helene, her mom.
I have a lot of questions about that dinner. Like, did they think that they were just going to dinner with Pam's mom? Maybe she was getting the other gift and then Michael's just going to pop up?
I don't know. But they had, well, Michael had the reservation. And later on, when Pam comes into the office and Aaron is discussing the canceling of the reservation, per Jim's request that, like, you cannot do this at that dinner.
He downsizes the reservation, which is a nice thing to do in, like, a busy restaurant. You know, you want to open up another spot.
Yeah.
It's very thoughtful.
And Pam overhears this and starts questioning, like, oh, this sounds special. You're going to a fancy restaurant. Who is this person? Why are you changing the reservation? Like, it all goes bad. And Michael accidentally, as he was told from Jim, don't tell her. And he tries to not tell her by canceling the reservation. And it just comes out anyway because Michael is terrible at coming up with a lie.
Part of the problem is she is the mother of a close friend of mine.
Oh.
More than a friend. A co-worker.
Oh, gossip.
Who is it?
Who is it? Who is it, Michael?
During this conversation, I watched this part twice. And the second time I watched it, I just focused on Jim, who is basically just staring at the ground. Like, he looks up at the camera at one point and then just stares at the ground as this happens around him. It's sad.
If he reacted too much, Pam would know, right? Like,
right.
He's trying to just, like, let it go. Keep this completely neutral. Like, let's pretend nothing important or substantial is happening at all. And Pam just keeps on pushing the issue. She couldn't let it go. She is going on and on about, like, tell us who this person is. Like, she's really giving Michael very little choice. And as we know Michael, he doesn't do well in pressure situations. He ends up telling her the truth. And Pam loses it. She mm-hmm. absolutely loses it. And we see a new side of Pam in this episode that we have not seen before. She is very much like, she's acting like a petulant child. Like, it's a very different reaction from Pam than we have seen. She is usually able to keep her cool in almost any situation. Mm-hmm. We saw her at the wedding, like things falling around, like just falling apart all around her. She had to drive Andy to the hospital with a scrotum injury. Like, there was so much happening, and she kept her cool way more than she has with this news.
Yeah, she runs out screaming. We see her screaming in the parking lot. Michael tells the camera that he never expected her to be upset. It's like, what did you expect? And his point of view on this is, well, she's my friend and she would want me to be happy. And so she'll be okay with this. And Pam, of course, later in the scene that gets bleeped again, says, I don't care about your happiness. You can't date my mother. And yeah, there's real actual tension here. And Michael, I think he does seem to feel bad, at least at this point. I don't think he does later, but he's kind of in his office and Dwight comes in to give him the chills to relax.
I love that scene.
Yeah.
It's so
he does
awkward.
He does the egg on your head and the yolk is running down thing, which, like, we're all familiar with. But the second verse is very Dwight Schrute.
You didn't have that part knife in elementary school?
No.
Oh.
Is this not just a Dwight thing? This is an actual, like, part of the song?
Yeah, it's a whole part of the thing.
Oh,
like, maybe
gosh.
I was just a creepy child, but yeah, we used to do that.
You got a little shoot in you.
There's
a knife in your back and the blood is rushing down. It's like, oh, don't need that.
You got the chills though. It worked.
It did. Dwight then says, hey, look, if I'd known you were into moms, I would have been proud to introduce you to my mom.
Quick quiz. That's... What is Dwight's mom's name?
Ooh. I don't know.
Jim knows. It's Hedda.
Hedda. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hedda Schrute.
I always remember that from that, like, Hedda Gabler. And so, anyway. Yep. Anyway.
Okay.
So overall, with Pam being super upset, and we'll get to, like, Jim going out into the parking lot let's talk about it now. Jim goes out into the parking lot to comfort her and brings her a hot chocolate. Like, he's trying his best. He really is a very good, like, comfort person. He knows when to back off, when to, like, kind of sneak in with something that she would like, when to agree, when to disagree. You know, like, he's playing this really well. He's trying to support her, But he also knows that, like, you know, when someone in your life that you care about is mad, sometimes they're just going to be mad for a little while and you just need to let it happen. You just need let the mad happen. And Pam has this great line where she is so upset that Jim isn't more upset.
You need to be more upset about this.
She's your mother too now.
Your mother is sleeping with Michael Scott.
I like how he comes around the corner to meet her. Like, he's a little afraid. He's like, who wants a hot chocolate? Like, I'm like, I'm not going to get too close to you until I see how you respond to this question.
Yeah, she's on the phone with her mom, also yelling at her mother about this whole thing. And
hangs up on her.
And hangs up on her. So, yes, Pam is acting very, very harshly to all of this news. And a scene or two later, we see Michael holding a conference room meeting and they're discussing some sort of thing that is happening with corporate, and they need to come up with all of these incentives to, like, you know, meet the community needs and all this stuff. But what stood out to me in that meeting was when this all gets revealed, Pam is just being she isn't listening to the meeting. She's being, it's very petulant. That's basically what I wrote down.
Me too.
And she is trying to, like, derail the meeting. She's not listening to Michael. She's not respecting any kind of authority in the conference room. And it comes out that Michael is dating Pam's mom, and everyone finds out and everyone reacts in different ways. But what really stood out to me was when Michael takes a moment and he says, what is so bad about me?
You know what? Clearly I'm outnumbered here, but could I just say one thing? Please, what is so wrong about me? I'm caring. I'm generous. I'm sensual. Is it really so horrible that I could possibly go out and find happiness?
And that little tiny speech, like, as you can see, everyone in the room except for Pam, who was unaffected, like, really takes a second and been like, actually, we are being really mean. Like, they are, like, everyone was kind of, like, pretty bullying when Michael kind of confesses, like, I'm kind, I'm caring. Like, why can't I be happy with someone? Like, why is it so gross that I have a relationship with somebody? And, and I don't know, that hit me too. I was like, I wasn't really that upset about Pam's mom. I mean, it's not my mom, so I, you know, whatever. But I don't know if I would get that upset. I don't know. I don't know. How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, I think Pam is overreacting. And I think that Michael's speech here really shows his perspective. And it does really kind of put everybody in their place. Like, everyone just sort of, like, stares at the ground or, like, at each other and realize that they've hurt him. And he does have a point. Like, for all of Michael's immaturity and lack of awareness, I think at the core of all of that is a good person, right? And he does care for people, maybe too much. And it does make me feel for him in that moment, right? It's one of those moments where this show is so good at, it'd be really easy to hate Michael in this episode, but then they give you that turn. And you're like, oh, okay, I see where it's coming from. I see how this would feel if you're in his shoes and the people, you know, that you care about and work with are just lambasting you for this thing that does make you really happy. And that's a tough spot to be in for Michael. And I do get the sense that he feels that he does feel conflicted, because he wants him and Pam to be okay, but he wants to also be okay with Helene, Pam's mom. But he doesn't handle it super well all the time.
This is a place of business. You are to listen to others. You are to give others respect, and you are to keep your personal issues out of it.
Oh, my God, you are ridiculous.
Not talk to me that way. I am your boss, and I may someday be your father, so get out.
You are never going to be my father. You get out.
It's like, okay, that's not what you needed to say in this moment. Like,
yeah, he definitely still has the Michael of saying all the wrong things. But as we know, his intentions are usually very good. And, like, we overhear him on the phone with Helene at one point, and he has, like, little pet names for her already. It seems like he really cares about her. Like, he is, like, he, because she calls him upset about the phone call she had with Pam. And it just seems like that they are finding comfort in each other. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Michael is also kind of on a rebound, which is one of the things that Pam says to him about her mom, is that Michael is just a rebound for her because she just recently split with her father, and her father brought that young woman to the wedding. And so there was like a whole thing going on there. And Michael is still missing Holly, I'm sure, as we've seen like scattered throughout other episodes. Have we seen him with anyone else since Holly?
I don't think so.
In these episodes? So this might be one of the first people he is with since he was with Holly. So, I mean, even if it is just a kind of a comfort relationship for now with these two people, I mean, what's so wrong with that?
Yeah. Did you catch, by the way, what this conference room meeting is about?
Yes, there was an incident at corporate, something with a the working conditions in one of their paper mills. I believe it was the Peruvian paper mill. That's what it was.
There was a 60-minute story about a cancer cluster associated with it.
So, yeah, they're looking for some community outreach. And, of course, Michael is fielding some options from the various people in the office.
Yep. This is another scene where Jim is just silent. He's letting this happen. How do you feel about that? Like, I understand that he doesn't want Pam to know that he knew, but I also feel like it's a little cowardly just to like stand there and let this kind of burn down around him.
I mean, he also, I think in any way that he speaks up, he's never the type of person who is demeaning to his partner. So if in the authority of being a manager, he says something to Pam, that's like, hey, calm down, or you're overreacting, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. That's really, it doesn't read right. He doesn't seem like that kind of person that would assert that kind of authority over someone's personal life. And I think that anything would look bad between him and Pam in the office, because he technically is her boss. And being her husband also, you don't want to be like, I'm controlling you as your husband. So I think that that's why he kind of just steps back and lets it happen. It's like, it's almost like when a little kid is testing something out and you don't want to like do it for them, even though you know they're kind of going to get hurt a little bit, but you need to like watch them get hurt. So you're there when they do get hurt, you like get them afterwards. So they, and I feel like that's where Jim is here. It's like, he's around, he's watching this all go down. He's not going to let it go too far, but he also, it's not really his place to say anything right now, because I think it would just make it worse.
That's fair.
That's the way I read it anyway, because I really like Jim and Pam's relationship, so I read the best into it that I possibly can.
Sure.
So while all this is happening and Pam is just absolutely raging against this relationship, Dwight is still bugging Jim's office, and Jim finds it. Jim finds the listening device in the mallard, because there was like some feedback going on while he was in his office, and he's like, what is that? And he gets closer and he hears it, and instead of telling Dwight directly that he found it and how dare he decides to reverse prank him. I wouldn't even call this listening device a prank on Dwight's part, because he's doing it more for like, I don't know, fact-finding missions, like espionage.
Yeah, right.
But Jim decides to like turn the tables a little bit, and he has Andy in, which he knows would drive Dwight crazy if he's talking to Andy. And that's exactly the kind of conversation that Dwight wants to be listening in on. And Jim makes that almost impossible by playing this extremely loud opera aria while he is having a meeting with Andy.
I am going to need your advice.
It brings Creed to tears. He's so touched by it.
It does. I love that little side moment.
It's just a second. Like, it's so good.
I was thinking of getting this opera for Dwight's birthday. What do you think?
They're like pointing at him, and the music is very kind of menacing. I tried to read about this opera and this song. I didn't get very far. There wasn't much online about it that made sense to me as someone who doesn't know anything about opera, but I think it's supposed to be meant to be a little menacing towards Dwight.
Oh, yeah. I don't know anything about opera either.
They're like pointing at him and talking about him, and Dwight is very concerned. And then, and I love this, Andy leaves Jim's office, and Dwight's like, well, what did y'all talk about?
Bernardo.
What's that?
I know, right?
He's talking about it there.
Trust me, it would only make you mad.
Because Andy just buys it, right? Andy's like, oh, yeah, let's just, you know, Andy will just take whatever's given to him. And Dwight looks up, and Jim is just standing in the doorway with this music blasting. It is such a phenomenal scene.
As Dwight is spending his day listening to the Mallard conversation, he starts overhearing not Jim, but Kelly.
Brian, I have to ask you a personal question.
Do you think that I should get a fedora?
I don't think so, no.
Well, I think I look really hot in one. Where'd you get your fedora?
I'd rather not say.
And he very quickly, like, flees his desk, runs back to the annex, and sees the duck over on Kelly's
Mallard.
Desk. Oh, sorry, the Mallard. Thank you. Very important distinction. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, inquires, like, how did you get this? And it turns out that Jim gifted it to her, because obviously he knows there's a listening device in there. And they go through this funny little scene where Ryan ends up convincing Dwight to buy back the Mallard. And Dwight just puts it back into Jim's office. And then eventually it becomes revealed that, hey, I see this is back. I know there's a listening device in it. You know, Jim confronts Dwight about it. And this is where Jim tells Dwight that he's bad at espionage and he should stop trying.
I'm sorry.
A wooden duck?
Mallard, I put it in your office in order to surveil you. I was jealous that you got the promotion over me.
Okay, just to be clear, you're terrible at this. And you're not equipped for espionage.
Oh, I'm equipped, so I can... Don't tell Michael.
I won't.
Yeah, so he has a punishment ready for Dwight, and he is having Dwight clean and buff their car as punishment mm-hmm. for trying to listen in his office with a wooden mallard.
That's right. There's also a funny thing where Ryan won't tell anybody where he bought his fedora.
Yes, that is a running joke.
And he kind of takes money, like, for Kelly, and he's like, wearing a fedora. It's like, are you like the world's worst pimp? I don't know. It's very strange.
Ryan goes through a lot of changes through this season. He is, like, trying on a ton of different, like, personas. He was wearing suspenders at one point.
Yeah.
Today he's wearing a fedora. He keeps going through all these different... I mean, I'm wondering if the fedora came from the whole mob episode. He got inspired.
Maybe. Yeah, so Dwight's gonna detail their car, and you know, Michael and Pam, there's not really conclusion in this episode. They yell at each other again in the kitchen.
Michael has this big moment where he apologizes to Toby. That's a big moment in this episode.
Toby, could I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
I just wanted to apologize for taking that tone with you earlier. That was uncalled for. I'm sorry.
That means a lot. Thank you for saying it.
Yes. Yeah, we need to talk about that. So he goes to Toby and he's like, hey, you know, I'm really sorry that I was rude to you earlier. You know, when he walked by him in gym. I was like, you know, man, I feel like I'm in a hostile work environment because of the situation with Pam. Like, I don't know what to do. Could you help me? And Toby's like, you know, oh man, like, we're going to be friends. And Michael hugs him and he looks at the camera and it looks like he's trying to, like, not throw up in his mouth. It's really funny.
But he doesn't say anything to Toby. Like, he doesn't turn around and make it a mean joke like he has before, you know, like, where he's... There have been moments where he's previously tried to be nice to Toby, and then he's just like, I just can't. Like, he'll walk away. Yeah. He just can't do it. Mm-hmm. But in this one, he kind of, like, lets it ride out. Besides his look to the camera, he was trying because he needed... I feel like maybe Pam is a little bit more important to him, and, like, fixing things with Pam, because he's essentially asking Toby to be a mediator here between the two mm-hmm. of them, than... So his relationship with Pam is more important than his hatred of Toby. So it actually, it's surprising. It's like, oh, wow, this is actually going on. But it doesn't even work with Pam. She is Mm-mm. still very, very upset. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't really get super, you know, resolved.
Even with Toby bringing out the conflict resolution notebook from season two, conflict resolution is my favorite Office episode.
Really?
I love every moment of it. And it's the same notebook with the win-win-win in it. And, you know, like, Pam just doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And Toby's like, hey, buddy, I'm sorry, I tried. And then Michael finally snaps. He's like, oh, well, you know, get out of here, you jerk, or, you know, whatever he says to him. Like, as soon as Toby proves he can't fix it, Michael's done with him.
Yep.
Poor Toby.
Oh, I know. Toby is just run over constantly in this show. But at the end of the episode, we see Jim going up to her, asking how she's doing. He says he kind of has a surprise that Dwight felt so bad that he went out and washed the car. So Jim's lying a little bit. Before that, we do find out that it gets revealed that Jim knew before Pam.
Yes. During the Toby conversation.
Yes. So that was another little mini explosion that Pam like completely just blows up about also, that how dare you, you knew before I did. And he's like, just barely. But it was still a kind of a betrayal for Pam that he knew and didn't tell her, even if it was really like maybe like an hour different.
Yeah. So they go over to the window and, you know, Dwight's washing the car and you know, Jim's trying to patch things up, and I think it works because they kind of fall back to where they were in the beginning of the episode, you know, talking about the honeymoon and the trips they took and how they're awesome at Segway tours. And I'm glad that this episode patches Jim and Pam back up, but yeah, it definitely leaves Michael and Pam just open to whatever comes next week.
Yeah, that wound is definitely not healed. Pam has calmed down enough to, like, you know, at least laugh a little bit with Jim and reminisce about when things were good. And she says that sweet thing, like, say more nice things to me. And Jim tries to say, like, I might think that you were overreacting. And then I love their back and forth.
Maybe I'm overreacting.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't think I am.
You're not. Nope.
But yeah, we end kind of on a much more open note than most episodes end.
Yeah, it's very much a we're going to see what happens to be continued type thing.
The very, very end of this episode has a really good twist. As everyone leaves the office, everyone goes home. The last person there is Dwight, probably because he had to stay later because he was busy washing a car. But yeah, he lingers back. He stays back for a little while. And we see him going into Jim's office and he goes into the pen cup. And from the very, very beginning of the episode, he dropped a pen in the pen cup when he brought the mallard in. And it was just passed off. It was glazed over. And I think that this is such a fun reveal that Dwight then takes the pen out and we find out that the real listening device was in the pen the entire time.
Our heavier 38-pound bond or ours.
I've got 8 hours of this.
Of course I wanted Jim to find the mallard. Make him feel safe. Did you really think I would put my primary listening device in a wooden mallard? I'm not insane.
He's getting a better poker face.
There you go.
All right, so that brings us to the end of the episode. I don't think I have much more to talk about. Do you?
No, I think that's it. It's jam-packed.
It is. This is a... At first, I didn't think that there was much going on, but there's a lot of conflict and a lot of stressors in this episode with both the listening device and the Pam's mom. There's a lot going on. We're really moving along with the interpersonal dramas. We're kind of back to that part of The Office. So you can find us over on Twitter at @tall_beats, or you could come and become an incomparable member and chat with us in the conference room, our members only Slack. And we will be back next week talking about the episode Koi Pond.